I said, all of us sitting here, think yourself as a leader, not a church member. You know how church members behave? Oh, the leaders, the pastors, they are the ones in charge. As for us, we are just floor members. An ordinary floor member like me. Member, but he has added floor to it. Ordinary floor member. Like the other day, a taxi driver brought somebody home and he said he was going to take a certain amount of money. I said, no, it's too much. But there are people who come from the same location to this place. They don't take the amount. They take half of what they... is it because the person didn't know where you... So you are taking two times. What is that? He said, you know something, media, I'm just an ordinary driver. I said, no. What are you talking about? That is your office. The fact that I am debating with you that your cost is high does not mean that you should tell me you are ordinary driver. I said, you are not ordinary driver. What I'm talking about is not ordinary driver. I'm talking about your cost is too high. So let's discuss that. And back and forth, back and forth, I got angry. I said, take the money and go. And then he left. I made him aware that you are not ordinary driver. That is your office. So when the next time, put dignity on yourself. Don't tell me I'm ordinary housewife. I am an ordinary floor member. I am ordinary politician. Which ordinary is a politician? I am an ordinary accountant. I am an ordinary pastor. If God thought about you being ordinary, he wouldn't put the grace and the abilities that he has placed in you that you walk in. Do you know that the things that you do, it's not everybody who can do the things that you do? Are you aware that the things that you walk in, it's not just anybody who can walk in that? Are you aware that the abilities that you can express, you are the only person who can express it in the way you do? The way I understand scripture, somebody may teach Bible similar to the way I do, but we are never the same. Khaki and leather, they look alike, but they are never the same. Look alike is never the same. So begin to place value on yourself going forward. All of us sitting here, we are leaders. And we are talking about equipped for the work of ministry. Your ministry, your gift, or your leadership gift gives you the capacity to stand in your uniqueness, to be able to walk in that uniqueness. You are the best company with yourself. You are your best friend. You are your best friend. So it's important that we understand these things so that we can position ourselves very well. Anything that you are doing, your confidence is very high. You know and you know and you know that you have been given grace to do what you are doing. You are not going to debate about who you are with anybody. You're not going to debate about why you have this capacity and why you are unique. You're not going to be apologizing to people, I am sorry for being unique me. I am sorry for being this unique, special person. I am sorry for teaching Bible the way I do. I am sorry for thinking the way I think about the matters of finance and the questions that I ask. You have to embrace your leadership gift. So if you are making notes, there's something I would love for you to take note of. It is what the term that I call institutionalization of leadership, where everybody in the organization is a leader, where nobody is sitting at the peripheral, at the tail end, where people are not regarded as low and some people are regarded as high, where we speak to everybody out of that capacity, out of that context of your leadership capacity and the things that you are supposed to walk in and express. So imagine me standing here and having ministered to you and having blessed you and having activated you through the grace of God upon my life, and eventually you are found in different parts of the world, or even in this country, doing different things of ministry. Those running churches are running churches. Those who are in business are doing business. Those who are in whatever career space are, and effectively delivering their charge and fulfilling their purpose and their destiny. And those doing ministry, I mean, having larger and bigger churches, even and ecclesias more than I lead, I am fulfilled. I am happy to see your life reach the destiny that God has given to you. So it is important, the things that we have been discussing, and the Bible says we speak the wisdom of God among the matured. We are not here to play. We are not here to play while people are. I saw a video. I wish I downloaded it. Maybe you'd have seen. I saw it on Instagram yesterday, IG yesterday. Yesterday I saw it on IG. Chinese children, and if I want to think of the age, they could be around 11, 12. Between 10 and 12. They are dismantling pistols and locking it back. And the precision, the speed at which they're doing it. Then the person who posted the video showed another video in Africa, and you see the children standing. They said, look at Africa. Look at Africa. And then one little girl was standing. Charity, you are laughing. A serious matter. One little girl was standing and doing. While Chinese children are learning how to face guns. Our TikTok that we watch here is a lot of comedy. A lot of nkwasiasem. So me, if you go to TikTok, the things that I'm following pages that are about money. Those are the pages I'm following. And the algorithm that is showing TikTok to the children in China is different from what you see. What the children are seeing in China, they are seeing people developing things, achieving results. But over here, what are we doing? We are playing unpaid. And then you see our curriculum. You go to school, you see our curriculum. Where is the National Cathedral located? How does it build destiny? No, answer me. How does... Then you see our curriculum. Where is our National Cathedral? In which region is the National Cathedral being built? Brong-Ahafo region. Greater Accra region. Oti region. Then they also write Kumasi. How would that make our children a challenge for tomorrow? Make them competitive. While people are learning how to fly to Mars and see if there's life on Mars and Jupiter, we are busy doing. I'm joking. You wonder those who write the curriculums whether they really are thinking. I've said something to you people before. I said there is no adult Holy Spirit and child Holy Spirit. Please hear me. The Holy Spirit is one Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he fulfills the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no child Holy Spirit, the adolescent Holy Spirit, teenager Holy Spirit, mid-age Holy Spirit, old man Holy Spirit. Which one is that? So in our fallen nature, we have limited the work of God. So the last time we were teaching, I told you something briefly about the call. And I said the call is a summon, just like a court will send you a court summons. It's a summons that override your personal desires, your personal preferences, where you want to go, your family obligations, and it becomes your internal driver, the thing that drives you from inside. It propels you. You dream it. When you sleep at night, what do you dream about? You should be dreaming God and money. God and money. That is, when I sleep, it's either I'm dreaming about God or I'm dreaming about money. Either I'm dreaming and seeing charts and one going up and then making entries. Or I have dreamt and then I've seen something that is about to happen, or something that the enemy planned to do, or something that God is about doing, or God speaks to me about somebody, or what God wants me to act upon, how he wants me to reposition myself. Those are the things. Those are the things. The call has to become your eternal driver, the thing that propels you forward. We said the call is God's design being heralded so that a gift might be developed and released to the church. And I say more than the church, not just the church, a gift must be released to entire humanity. So you who is sitting here, you are a gift to the world. You are a gift to the world. It is important that you have to begin to think this way. You have to begin to think this way. You have to think, I am a gift to my family. I am special, a gift to this community. You are a gift to this assembly. You who is sitting here, you are a gift to this church. You are a gift to your family. You are a gift to this nation, Ghana, those watching from wherever. You are a gift to the nation that you belong to. You were born in, or you grew up in, or you live in. You are a gift to the entire world. You who is sitting here, you are a gift. You are a gift. Bernard, do you understand? You are a gift to that woman. You are a gift to that woman. And she must begin to understand and see that. And it changes the way she handles the gift. You are a gift to your generation. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, and David served his generation and he joined his fathers. You are a gift. We also said the call, it is a pathway from singular life. People believe being single, me, I is the best. When the call comes, it overrides everything and you are thrown to everybody. Sometimes people abuse you. Sometimes the mango fruit, the mango tree, is it only the mango tree, does he only enjoy himself? Though its leaves will fall and create manure for it to continue to grow, the mango tree knows that every fruit there belongs to humanity. And it does its work so well that it continues to produce fruit season by season. Have you not had this experience before? Where there is a plant in your house, maybe a coconut tree. They say, this is one of the, I'll cut it and it's not bearing fruit. As you complain, you want to marshal it before you see the next year start bearing fruit. Have you noticed that before? No, have you noticed that before? Me, I've noticed it. This tree is not bearing fruit. It's just creating bush. Then somebody will go and cut some part a little and say, this coconut tree. The next thing you see, that it start bearing fruit. It's discharging its duty. The call of God takes you from being one and multiplies you. As the Lord have called you, as the Lord have called me, in this particular work, is that I will become many marks. There will be many, many, many marks. There will be many, many graces produced. And these graces produced will be different people. But through the grace of God and impartation upon my life, that they will also be activated into their various destinies, unique capacities and call. This is the essence of ministry. When God heals a sick, it is that he wants to unveil himself in another way. And it's that he wants to make that body available so he can fill it, and that body will become useful and express his glory in the earth. Because God does not have a physical body. So he needs your body. That is why he will heal you. And when he heals that body, he wants to fill it. And now he says, I walk through the earth through humanity. And you see a human being walking, ordinary human being, going through the same frustration everybody is going through the same pain everybody is going through, the same challenge in the same society everybody is going through. I mean, be in traffic with everybody, but God in me, God inside man. God inside man. Emmanuel. It is God inside man. Emmanuel. You see that? It's God inside man. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Inside man. El inside man. So God is not joking with you. And unfortunately, the church, we have played church and we have played games. When we should have been a people who are serious and creating impact and results. So this teaching is designed to push you and provoke you so that you can think deeply about where you are and why you are here in this life. And consider all of that. And consider your current status. And give yourself totally, sell yourself to the call. Be sold out to your gifts and your call. Dream it, think it, talk it, walk it, everywhere. Become so consumed with that which God called you. I am here to tell you, everyone, if you have not discovered the purpose or the call of God for you, that God has for you, I want to first of all tell you there is a call, there is a purpose. Amen. Let's settle that. There is a call, there is a purpose. Number two, it is time that I discover that call, I discover that purpose. There is. You cannot negotiate that. Your life will only count. There's a song, Make It Count. Your life will only count when you would have fulfilled that call. Your life only counts. The results are only counted when that call is touched. You can do everything, but if you are not compliant, legally compliant, by fulfilling, do you remember when I started this teaching, I said that anybody who does not follow his call is an idol worshiper. You are illegal. You are illegal because you have left your own grace and you are following worthless things. Now, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus will tell you, I don't know you, that all the works you have done, all whatever you would have called impact, all the books you have written, all the ministries you have done, all the crippled that walk, all the sick that heal, all the prophecies that happen, it doesn't count until you would have fulfilled the calling of God upon your life. That is where it comes. So it's important. Look, the call, purpose, is a matter of life and death. People walk through this life, they don't care. They can do anything. They can go anywhere. They can join anything. No, you have to live life based on purpose. Your choice of friendship has to be based on purpose. Not just anybody. Your marriage has to be purpose. You can't just marry anybody. The call determines who you marry. The call determines which country you stay in. The call determines which job you do. The call brings you blessing. The call sustains you. So it's important. So we stop on on Philippians chapter 3, if you remember. You remember when I was doing this teaching, how many weeks ago? About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we stopped on Philippians chapter 3. And so I want to go back to Philippians chapter 3. And let me just take note of a few things. Then I'll come later and come and talk about the components of the nature of the call. There are some things that we must look at in the call. So I want to just run through Philippians chapter 3. Let me pull some few principles. Because we said the call overrides your preferences. In the call, Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, I am a Hebrew of a Hebrew. Me who is standing here, I am a rabbi Pharisee. Hey, concerning the law, nobody comes in here. But when you read the verse 7, it says all this. Listen to what it says. It says, I once thought these things were valuable. Now, for us to understand properly, I think we have to read backwards. We have to go back and let's just read. Let's encourage ourselves. Let's have a clear mindset concerning who we are. Today, people are just going places seeking miracles or something. People don't even understand why they attend church services. I think the late Idahosa, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, he said that if your pastor only makes you to listen to a nice sermon, you clap your hands, you sing a nice song, then you give a nice offering, and then you go home, he said, run from that place. He said, look, ministry is a matter of destiny. It's not about we coming to play. Yes, when you inside the church, you can network, you can meet people, and you network, and it leverages you, it brings you up there. But the matters of destiny has to be addressed. In ministry, the church is an emissary base. If I say an emissary base, it's like a training camp where we convocate, where we gather together, we receive instructions, we sharpen our weapon skills, we sharpen our understanding, we understand the laws of our kingdom, we go back for enforcement. Because God has a purpose. This place has to now be called the colony of heaven, where you would have arrived. But his ambassadors all over, ambassadors in business, ambassadors in construction, ambassadors in trading, ambassadors in forex, ambassadors in accounting, ambassadors in politics, ambassadors all over have taken place, and the arrival of the king, he looks and says, indeed, this is my colony. This is an extension of my kingdom. Ministry is a serious matter. So I can't do ministry. Every prophetic ministration for me is to reveal a certain type of God and how God wants his kingdom seen and how he wants his kingdom extended. I mean, we couldn't have our sister coming into this meeting this morning. I mean, looking at the background where she is coming from and she's in this meeting, there is an extension of the kingdom of God happening, a revelation of Christ happening. You see, so when people don't understand why they attend church services, they play hanky-panky, they will tell you story, oh, today my back, today my knee, today my toe. Oh, you know, that little part, the tip of my ear is paining me that I can't come to. You are a soldier. I think I need to come back and start teaching ministerial attitude. I'll come back and teach that. As for the messages, I have them plenty. I've been preparing them for years. I'm telling you, I can preach for the next 5 years without preparing a new note. And even the next 5 years, I cannot exhaust them. I have messages on walking under open heavens. Tick. I have messages on favor. Tick. I have messages on leadership development. Tick. I have messages on purpose. Tick. Prophetic. I have a tick. Apostolic. There. We are not here to joke. We don't come to church just to come and laugh. And yes, I miss this one. I need to meet him. But when we gather, it is a time of weapon sharpening. It's a time of sharpening our understanding. It's a time, okay, when we went to the warfare, the battle, I missed some things in my skills, so I couldn't hit my target very well. Now let me sharpen my skills. Let me sharpen my skills. Let me sharpen my skills. And when we gather, it's a time when we are polishing our gifts
so that we can throw it out there. So the church is not a place where we just teach something every Sunday and people just go home. No, it's a serious business. That is why the devil is red eye upon us, even here. And somebody asked and said, but in this small ministry, why is it the battles that you are fighting? He said, it means that there is something in that place. That is why you are fighting these battles. It means that there's something about you people. That is why you are fighting these battles. Because I can't think it. Small ministry like this, and you have battles left, right, center. What has the enemy seen? There are ministries, there are gatherings that are just a mere round of services, and that just allow the enemy to grow. Oh, let them continue with another round of. But there is a gathering of a people all over the world. When they begin to gather, the enemy says, again, why didn't you stop Akosua from coming? Why didn't you stop Charity? Why didn't you stop man? And why didn't you create you this demon? We sent you, you spirit of lies. You should have created this. You spirit of confusion. You should have. He said, when we tried, they were a fortified people. The Bible says that measure the house and leave the outer courts. They were a measured house. I have a teaching there, a measured house. Listen. We have to position ourselves very well. People have to be serious. I saw one man of God, I almost mentioned his name, and he was saying that he will see people prophesying, and then you see people sitting, go deeper, 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 deeper. and he says, the Holy Ghost I know is the Holy Ghost of order. He said, the God that we serve is a serious God. And all over Africa, we have turned the prophetic to an entertainment, something. Entertainment. UOD. Look, I saw a prophet prophesying to a lady, and I loved it. He said, Mami, when a kosia nyako? Udi ni say? Ewan. Uye beifuwa? So, when they chat to the so, what my own, oh, sister, or that him, what be real sorry them you crano, and me a direction, me a sika direction, or mousika direction, but one back, me a oil direction, or mousika got oil, maybe one anti and of a tree, one back. I saw in the crowd, yes, I did. Look at the revelation of God, and then the sister got healed. She has been crippled for years, and she is responsible. And she's the same person carrying her to prayer center, so the same witch. Only ferrier. You see, so we need to be a people of serious-mindedness. I mean, we are too playful. I think immediately we begin to get some $500, $1,000, $3,000, some thousand Ghana, we go to sleep. I think that is a problem. That is the thing worrying us. We have become too comfortable. And the next move of God to cause a scattering of eagles all over in the sky is to remove the soft sheets in the nest and allow the tongues to pierce and touch, so that the discomfort will make people to begin to flap their wings and take off with great momentum and begin to enter into matters of destiny. It is time for us to rise up. People should discover destiny and live it. You know, the devil, you know what he will do? He will prevent you and I from discovering destiny. That's number one. If he couldn't do that, he will make you to run ahead of God in your destiny after you have discovered it. He will make you. Hey, where are you? Oh, you are already gone. God says, I am here. Oh, he said, no, I'm waiting for you there. You are gone. He said, but I am God. He said, I know, but I've seen destiny. I'm gone. I'll wait for you. I will be in Accra. He said, I am not passing Accra. Oh, even though I'm going to America, I will not pass through Accra. I'm going to go over the sea because I am gone. He said, no, I'll wait for you. The airport is in Accra. I'll wait for you. God says, the road is not there. He said, no, I've gone. I'm gone. Is it not America? Oh, you pass the sea, I'll pass Accra, we'll meet there. Such a lawless generation.
Oh, he said, sit down. He said, I'm standing. He said, stand. He said, I'm sitting. He said, get out of here. He said, I'm out of here, but I'm still standing here. Such a rebellious generation. Listen, the devil will not make you not to discover the purpose. If he couldn't stop you, discover purpose, you discover your call, he will make you run ahead of God. If he couldn't make you run ahead of God, he will make you to be late behind God. These are the three factors he would plant into your world of your calling. So it's important that we embrace the matters of calling with seriousness. I mean, in your room, have something on the wall that speaks to you. Write something, put it, write some sticker, put it in your Bible, write something, your phone. I mean, everywhere, be surrounded, let something be questioning you. Have you achieved it? Have you found it? Have you discovered it? Are you walking in it? Why are you not doing this? Challenge yourself. I was telling a friend, I said, I'm not studying enough. I'm not building myself. He said, are you? I said, yes, me. He said, you don't know what is happening? I said, I'm not building myself. I feel I'm not pulling my weight. I feel I'm too behind. I feel I'm not doing things well. I feel, is it I've missed something? God, if I miss it, and I'm driving, I said, God, if I miss it, bring me back in the way, Father. Anywhere I've missed it, bring me. Lord, anything that I've lost, Lord, restore me. Lord, let me be in line with you. We have to be serious, serious, serious with your calling. So look at what Paul, look at, I was just going to read Paul and I am all over the place talking something. Philippians chapter 3, look at what Paul began to say. And I'll come to the verse 7. Look at what Paul began to say. Look at what Paul began to say. Chapter 3, the verse 1. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord from me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of morphilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, do you see that? Is this what? Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So Paul said, in the flesh. Usho sika, usho fear, usho car, usho degree, usho qualification. I said, me, degree am I jino, ubuakra, me son semunina. Look at what Paul is saying. He continues to say, and we are dealing with a call that is God's preference in your life. You see, sometimes when God calls you to do something, it is never pleasant to you. You don't like it. You want to be pastoring, then you know very well that this person is supposed to be in church, and the person decides I will not be in church. The person knows I'm supposed to do A, B, C. The person will decide I will not do it. I mean, you will be in church, and the person will literally tell you lies. You go like Mark. Mark will be dodging you. Like Osiete, you dodge me. I pass it, you dodge me. I parked the car, he came out and said, Osiete, return home. Abba, you have run around too much. Return home. Come back home. What is this? It is not pleasant. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. Sometimes it's difficult to see people go through certain things. And you cannot even help in any way. You can't do anything to help the situation. It's painful. And God has put you there. And you are clearly seeing trouble. You tell the person that, no, this trouble will change. You are not God. And the last hour, the thing is not changing. And it looks like you are a disappointment. And getting to the last moment, and the thing turns before everybody
Look, it is a difficult place. I wrote on my status, leadership is a lonely path. Leadership is a lonely path. Listen, if you're embracing your call and your gift, believe today that you are alone. Believe that nobody is supporting you. Oh, go and do it. We will support you. Hey, that house you want to build, oh, come on, me. I'll give you 1,000. I have some blocks I'll give you. You start digging and see.
Okay.
Call that phone number and see. Don't listen to anybody's voice and jump into a call. That is why I am saying you have to discover it by yourself. Nobody should prophesy you into a marriage. You know, that they prophesy that I have to marry Kofi, and then this Kofi have to marry sister Suwebatu. My mate Suwebatu. Barikisu. Say, I have to marry Brother Sule. The prophet says it's only Brother Sule. You yourself, what did you hear from God? So he said, God, the woman you gave me. The woman you gave me.
Yeah.
The man you gave me.
Okay.
You have to be convinced. So that when there is shaking coming, when you arrive where things are shaking, you can stand and say, I heard God. The first day. Why do people quit and they don't care? No, please. I need you. Please sit properly. Sit properly. Sit properly. Why do people quit? You have started something. What did you see in the first place? Unless, of course, it's a mistake. Okay? But you just quit. You don't care about anybody. You just don't care about anybody. You have to be persuaded. Be persuaded. Be convinced. Listen to what Paul says. I need to finish this in some few minutes. Listen to what Paul says. It says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Are you a Hebrew of Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I am a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is the law, I am blameless. What a Paul, what a man. Verse 7, look at what it says. I once thought these things were valuable. We are dealing with your purpose, your call. You have to be given to the call. I once thought that, oh, this thing is good, that one is good. So I am busy with them. I am not focused on the call. Even though God says this is my preference, I prophesied to someone, I said, you, A, B, C, D, and this and that and that. He says, I even don't like yam. I didn't say, go and eat yam. Do yam, business in yam, and make money. He said, I don't like yam. I once thought these things were valuable, but now, come on, what's this? Just a moment. Some of my screens are jumping across. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider, I have a mindset, I have a hegemony, I have a thinking system. I have something that I focus on. I once thought, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. I consider them worthless because of what Christ have done. Verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. We are talking in terms of the call, right?
And this principle, you can apply it in everything. Your following of Christ, your devotion to God, these are the principles. He said, I have discarded everything. I have no reference point. You know, some of us, we have choices. We go into marriage, we have choices. Or if, actually, if this one is not working, my ex-girlfriend is there. Somebody was telling me yesterday or 2 days ago, he says that, you see, that man, he was advising me to leave my husband. He's a lawyer. He's advising me to leave my husband. The lawyer is advising a married woman to leave her husband. And when I check, he is not in the same house with his wife. They are living apart. But he is telling me I should divorce my husband. And I ask him, I said, but why are you living apart? Why haven't you divorced? Why are you hanging around? So it's a strategy. Oh, so you are advising me to divorce, but you are using strategy to keep your marriage. I said, look at you. Look at this. Look at this one. For his sake, I count everything discarded. 9, so that I will be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not having my own call, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Let me make a comment quickly. You see, when you walk in your call, you walk in righteousness. The Bible says that see a man who is in his call. See a man who is in his call. The Bible says in the book of Lamentations chapter 3, it says to subvert a man from his course, God does not permit. When you are inside your call, it's righteousness. I'm not talking about the righteousness given to us when Christ died and so we come to him born again. I'm talking about the aspect of the call. Your call protects you. When you are inside your call, there are certain battles you will fight, but you win.
Okay.
When you are inside the call, there are battles you will fight, but you win. But when you are outside the call, Bible says that the book of Ecclesiastes, it said that he who breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. A hedge is a system. The call has a contest. You remember I started talking about contest in which God called us and that God placed Adam within the garden. The call has a contest. When God calls you, there is a contest. There's a place. There's an education. There's a training. There's a development. There are things that you have experienced. There are relationships that you have to walk in. When you are outside that, anything can go. Anything can fight you. Even you will see the little things slap you and you fall down. But when you're inside the call, even the most giant, powerful entity cannot fight you. Look at Saul. When Saul stepped outside his call, the Bible says that an evil spirit, the anointing left him. When we step outside our call, the grace of God is given to us for a particular people, for a particular situation that we are supposed to walk in. If we are outside the contest, the grace will not deliver fully. Our strength is limited. Paul says that I'll be found in him and have a righteousness not according to my great-grandfather, what my father said, what my mother said, what my uncle said, but to have a righteousness that comes from him, not according to the law, a righteousness that comes from him, defined by heaven. Your teacher told you that you are good for nothing and you have believed it up to now. Your teacher told you that you can never draw, and you have believed it up to now, so you don't draw. And you have believed it even at 60, you say, I can't draw. It has gone into your subconscious mind, it has controlled you. Your parents told you you are good for nothing, and you have believed it, and you are living as good for nothing. I am here this morning telling you that God has issued a new declaration. And he said, you are good for everything. God have issued a new declaration and says, you have created you for my glory. God have issued a new declaration. It says that you are for my purpose. God have declared a new decree over you. It says your life will not fail. God have declared over you. It says you will achieve your purpose and your destiny. God is speaking to you. He say, I am with you.
You have believed over the months, the years, that he's not with you. That is why your life is the way it is. God is saying, I am with you. You are going to fulfill that purpose. God is saying, stay close to me. We are going for purpose. Stay close with me. We are going for purpose. God is saying, let your feet step where I step. For we are scaling to touch purpose.
We can't believe the lie anymore. The lie told to us about society. So today you see people, they say, I am wearing Tommy Hilfiger. And you feel important. And you feel important. Chinese people have something, they say spaghetti top. I don't know who named spaghetti. Instead of you also wearing your own design, you feel proud about it. You only feel proud because you are wearing. Say, this shirt I'm wearing is from EM. This one is what? It's from Z. I don't even. Zepriana or something. Okay, I'm feeling good. Hey, come on. You see, I wear special. Nobody in the whole Ghana wears these things that I wear. Even the perfume that I wear is $10,000, you know? I'm the most expensive, special person. Even the one, I know somebody, the wine he drinks, the alcohol, he can go and spend money on alcohol. You go, one alcohol bottle, better. One alcohol bottle, 25,000. You go and say, give me five. They say, you know, all of that will not carry it out of this world. Postmortem will remove some of that. You call that fulfillment. 25,000, one bottle of alcohol. And that some of the bottles of alcohol can stay for 100 years. In fact, some of them, they have to age it 25 years before they bottle it. We can buy 50,000. And you see the question? Not I had it. My name alcohol. My bomb idea. Barrel. If you look, they manufacture. Then they put in a barrel. Then they'll be measuring, it, checking if it's something for 15 years. And they say, now I put it in a bottle. It's ready. Put it in a bottle. Kofi will go and buy 25,000. And Kofi will be walking the street. You know, man. You are a drunk man. You are a drunkard. I don't know. They wear the nicker, and the nicker one side is. The devil is a wicked devil. And you see a human being that God created who could be walking nicely. Now he's walking and he's bent like this. And he said he's a star.
Superstar.
Oh, what a life. We have to come to a point where we count all those things as dunk. We have to discard them. And look at purpose in the face and say, purpose, I love you. Purpose, you make my life rich. Purpose, you change my world. Purpose, you will touch my sister because I'm moving from being singular and I'm going to be a person of impact. We have to step into capacity. I've not even gotten
into the things I want to teach you. I'm just reading the scripture.
Paul said, all these things I count as nothing. Verse 10, he says, that I may know him. What is important to you, friend? Then a sumobo in this life. Is it the food you eat? How much food can you eat? How much food can you eat? Even that alcohol, one glass, you are booze. The next time you take it, maybe another 2 days. In 1 week, you have finished 25,000, some yellow or insipid-looking liquid. Then you are not thinking, where do I get another 25,000, another bottle? Very soon, you'll be a thief. No, don't you see the level of abuse, how the devil reduces human being to nothing when God says, I have value in you.
Just reduce human being. Look at what gambling has done to a lot of young guys. And now a lot of the fraud guys who are duping people, now they have turned to Forex. But even that, inside the Forex environment, some of them, the thing is like a disease. It chases them into Forex. So before you see, they will establish a Telegram group and they'll be defrauding people. Even on YouTube, they are fraudsters on YouTube channel. Fraudsters. You need to look into your life and see the things that have value and the things that do not have value to purpose. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed. Paul says, all I want to achieve is not a Hebrew of a Hebrew. All I want to achieve is not to have a PhD, because I have PhD, but when I look at the PhD and the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of my call, how can this guy, at this point he's quoting this, he has been running around for 32 years persecuting church, and he says he's doing the work of God. God still have mercy. 32 years, he is fighting people everywhere. He says he's doing the work of God. 32 years, he will kill people. Even when they were stoning, Acts chapter 7, when they did the stoning, whose feet did they drop the stones? It was Saul. He was standing there. After they stoned Stephen, the remaining stone, they came to drop it at his feet. When Stephen said, I see, and they charged on him, they dropped the stones at Saul's feet. After all of this, in fact, he thought he was doing the work of God. I mean, God have mercy. We can think we are doing something that looks like God, but Paul had access to the kings and the powers of the day, the high priest of the day. He went to the high priest and collected, and the Roman emperor collected letters, and he went everywhere arresting people. Now, have you seen some politicians in society? They don't mind me. Hey, my friend, you can't. Who do you think you are? You can't. Who do you think you are? Who's that? Yeah, who do you think you are? How can you draw closer to me? You and I, are we in the same category? And the next time you meet them, you see them, they are weak. And all the entourage and the glory that they have left them. And the person who was so glorious and powerful, I mean, is nothing walking down the street. All the protection he had, all the soldiers that surrounded him, is no more. Be very careful. When you have glory and opportunity today, and you think that it will be forever, be very careful. Be very careful. Be very careful. Be very careful. Purpose is more important. It says that I will be shaped into the very principles that define his dying on the cross. Or that I will be shaped into the very principles that defines purpose. Let me finish reading. And so, somehow, to attain this resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained. Look at Paul's mindset. Look at Paul's mindset. I have not even considered myself that I've reached there. Hey, with all the glory and the power and everything you have seen, you have not reached there. It says, I have not considered myself to have reached it, or have I already made perfect? But I press on to take hold for that for which Christ took hold of me. My God, what a mindset. I press on. There is a reason why you became born again. You sitting here this morning, or you online listening to me, there's a reason why you are hearing this, and there has to be a resolve inside you. A pursuit to lay hold of that which he has called you to come along. This thing should consume us. I'm not going to. I think next week I can now begin to break this principle down. Or I will go ahead and teach the components of the nature of the call. This thing has to consume you. This call, dream it. Wake up. Drink it. Talk it. Ask Albert. When I came to you this morning, what did I tell you? What did I say? Bernard, when I came to you this morning, what did I say? I said, we'll make money. Look, I'm thinking that it has gone deep into my subconscious mind. This morning, I was telling my wife, I'll make money. I will show you.
money.
I will show you. I will use money to beat you.
Money.
I told her, I said, I'll make money. I was talking to another friend. I said, me, I'll make money. I was talking to my in-law. He said, look, the thing everywhere I am is the thing is just coming out of me. I was sitting with my father-in-law. I said, Grandpa, I'm going to make money. From this time, by the time we're entering, I know something good is going. I'm going to make money. He said, Amen. I'll make money. It's inside me. And the same way, I fulfill my call. So I have to now position myself. Call. This call. Look, I cannot just wake up and teach anything. I'm telling you the truth. I can't just get up and then and say, oh, that the way everybody's teaching me to, let me teach anything. I can't do that. Even if I try to reduce the teaching, it comes out by itself the way it's supposed to be. Because it's a call. Please sharpen yourself. Please devote yourself to the call. Devote yourself to that which you are called. You are a nice barber. Begin to barber with dignity and style. There's a guy I buy coconut from in my area. He called himself Celebrity Coconut. So when I get, Christian is laughing. When I get there, I say, hey, so Obama has been coming here to, he said, yeah, Obama. Obama was here yesterday. Obama came to drink coconut. I mean, you see all kinds of celebrities and he believed in, and he himself, you see some twig, you see some hair, and you see some rasta this way, and you see some the hair, then they are polishing, then they have shaved this side, and then he's celebrating himself. You lie bad. Listen, devote yourself to that thing, or let it consume it, talk it. Speak to yourself. Look into the mirror. Me? This call, I will fulfill it. God, you said you have called me a prophet. I will walk in. Look into the mirror and begin to mention names and addresses and begin to prophesy to that sister in the mirror. Yes, begin to prophesy and mention. And I say, I'm seeing you. I'm on this street in London. And mention, even if it's correct. Hey, and is it not true? And continue to ginger yourself. Listen. Paul says, I am laying hold to Christ. I want to achieve the thing for which there is something in his mind why he lay hold of me. Me, I was minding my business, killing people. You met me on the road to Damascus. You by now, all of us, by now, me by now, like I want to be a movie actor and I'm Hollywood and I have some gang and I'm stuff. And then I'm in Hollywood and then I have my jeans and it's hanging back and I'm walking like that. And I'm saying, this is the life. And he has arrested me and I'm here doing something. God preaching, I better get what he called me for.
Amen.
This morning people are eating omutu and drinking beer. Means we go di beer here. But I'm here preaching. The reason why, look, you have to pray some prayer this morning. Short prayer. Pray. God, there's a reason why I am born again. My life cannot be like this. God, is that all there is about it? Have I achieved it? You have to provoke yourself. You have to provoke heaven. I said, God, you have to do something. Sometimes I'll be driving. I said, God, is that all? Or there's something else? God, I need to touch this reality. You prophesy to people and it is direct. Don't settle and say, oh, today, that's the way I've got it today. Now I have arrived. No, there is more for you. You made 1,000 profit. Oh, come on. People are making 100,000. You can reach there. Design a strategy. Take your risks properly, your risk management properly. Go and begin to achieve 2,000. Go and begin to achieve 5,000. Go and begin to achieve 50,000. Go into 60,000. Soon you will be in 150. It's a matter of time. When we're growing up, my mother used to say, no hurry in life. I understand. No hurry in life because you have to discover purpose and you hurry inside the purpose.
My God. Brothers, Paul is talking. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What a guy. You see, my own warrior. Now I'm relaxing. I think my own warrior is relaxing. I don't know why. My own warrior is relaxing. My own warrior is relaxing. It is easy to do. Nobody can do. The thing you used to do, you have to continue to do. Now they said that when I become born again, everything will be fine. Now I'm born again and I'm not going to. There's no pursuit anymore. There's no challenge anymore. May God help us. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. If I want to explain this thing, I want to just close this so that next week maybe I can take the principles one by one. It says that I consider, hedge your mind, straining forward, straining towards what is ahead, forgetting what is behind. All of those principles. 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hey. It is serious business. It is serious business. Let me put it another way. It is serious warfare. It is a race. We are it's a competition against purpose. Let all who are spiritually matured, I'm reading NIV. Let all who are spiritually matured agree on these things. This is where I want to stop. Then next week, we'll take the principles. We'll take the principle of calculating loss. I consider them worthless. So now, what I want you to do this week, you go think through. What are the things that are hindering me from pursuing the call and the purpose? Sometimes it could be some girlfriend. One of my friends told me, Albert. One of my friends told me, he said, hey, me be bomb pile cry, no afraid. Time I'm a bomb pile of on the cassa tin 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 sa what ya bloche on the cassa tin 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 sa. You'll be talking to me, and the time I want to pray before I realize it's 3 a.m. and then I have to sleep. So I can't pray. You either calculate loss, or you reposition things very well, or you turn part of the conversation into prayer. Then you talk small, then you pray small, you talk small. Before you see, it will all become 3 hours of prayer. Amen. Hey, you know, before you see, my wife, when we started dating, I'll close from work, I'll go and meet her at Comte One. She will attend classes at Oninku Drive, this side. We'll meet her. When she closes, we go and pray 30 minutes. Then we pick her, we go. When we get on the phone, we are talking, we pray. Like that. Calculate loss. What is it? So go through your life. Look at the scripture. Read this scripture again. Because next week, I want to get in and drill the principles down. So that as we go through the teaching, you can lay hold of something. I trust that this has been a blessing to you. I trust that this has been a blessing to you. I want to say God bless you. God bless you. Everyone online who followed, who listened, God bless you. I trust that this has been a real blessing to you. Next week we shall continue. Equipped for the work of ministry. Equipped for the work of ministry. And we shall talk about devoted to the call. Thank you.